Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Thursday morning, July 30th, 2009. It is now 6:31 a.m. Central Daylight Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good morning, everyone. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. That's comments@libertytalkradio.com. I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, mytwocentsonline.com. That's mytwocentsonline.com, and that too is a numeric two. In his weekly newsletter, Andy discusses economic issues and how they affect you. You can also listen to Andy's commentary on contraryinvestorscafe.com. The second website I want to direct you to is the one that we have been discussing with Dr. William Lenhart, with the 2B Foundation. That's numeric 2 again, strangely enough. The letter B, foundation.org. 2BFoundation.org. And read about their solutions to the elder care crisis. Join in and assist. It's going to take a massive effort to turn this battleship around. Lastly, I would like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. Well, good morning, everyone. I do invite you to call. I know it's early in the morning, 646-652-4620. If you cannot call in this morning and you're listening to this broadcast, maybe on a rebroadcast, please send your comments to comments@libertytalkradio.com. And I mean also your criticisms as well. I mean, I welcome anything, you know, and I do really, truly welcome them. Well, folks, this seems to be a time when everyone feels extremely unsettled. The economy purportedly is doing better, but it is not. The economy, the stock exchanges have increased slightly and then sort of petered out a little bit. But there's no indication, historically, that the stock market is an indication of how well the economy is doing. So we have to be careful about that. Now, what we hear on television, and believe me, I avoid it like the plague. I turn it on every once in a while just to hear some of the nonsense that is being perpetrated on the airwaves. I shouldn't say on the airwaves, on mostly cable. And mine is satellite. When they talk about, when one of these guests are asked about the recovery, and they say, you know, is there a recovery? The answer is always the same. And I really start to listen to this. They never say yes or no. They say, well, we expect that there will be. Well, what do you mean there will be? Of course there will be a recovery. It could be in the year 2054. Of course, there will be a recovery at some point in time, but none of them will commit themselves to saying that will be a recovery. Now, here's the interesting part. They say that, and then they talk so optimistically about their company, about their funds that they're promoting, and they say, well, you know, we can't do this without the consumer. And then if you watch 5 minutes later, they talk about, this is a jobless recovery. Now, folks, maybe I'm just plain, just not too smart. Maybe I'm just plain stupid. But they're saying that we need the consumer, obviously, to buy the stuff that we're manufacturing, and the consumer can be the consumer anywhere around the world. It doesn't have to be here in the United States. To buy those things that we are purportedly manufacturing, and I'm not sure if we're manufacturing them today, in order to have a recovery. But they say that, well, we're not having a recovery because the consumer's not buying. Well, the consumer's not buying because the consumer doesn't have either a job, has a low-paying job, or is fearful they may lose their job, or their prospects of their job of enhancement, of promotion, is somewhat decreased. So you can have a jobless recovery. Now, what's interesting is back in the old days, we had some basic principles we went by. In fact, our nursery rhymes, when we went to bed, and our mother read us, if we were lucky enough to have the mom that would do this, and they read nursery rhymes. What were the nursery rhymes? The Three Little Pigs. What was the moral of the story? And there was the story such as that, you know, Little Red Riding. What was the moral of the story? And all of them centered around the same thing, is that you have to be self-reliant, you have to be diligent, you have to be responsible, you have to be thrifty. Now, those are major tenets, you know, of accumulating wealth and security. And we promoted these things. Somehow we went off the track. This train just flew off the track. And say, well, we don't need that anymore. It's okay for you not to save. You know, it's okay to be like Piggy number one, you know, who built the straw house. Don't worry about it. Because if it blows down and the wolf comes around, the government is there to help you out. And then basically that's what it is. Our nursery rhymes make no sense to our kids anymore. They say, what for? Why couldn't they just get a loan? You know, that's what they think that way. They see this all the time. But it was based on thrift. You know, Benjamin Franklin said, a penny saved is a penny earned. Well, you wouldn't save a penny today because it's worthless. So people say, well, I don't save pennies. Do you know, I can't tell you how many times I'll go to a shopping center and I'll see change on the floor. I'll be honest with you, I pick it up. One time I was on my motorcycle and I looked down and there must have been about 50 or 60 or 75 pennies on the floor. And about a third of them were full copper pennies prior to minted prior to 1983. Now those things are worth about 3 cents each. Actually worth about 3 cents each. Someone just threw them away. I stood there, I picked every one of them up. And believe me, I looked for every damn one of them. And I still have them today. But we have to be thrifty. And people say, well, if you save your money, how could that help the economy? Well, when you save your money, if we had banking institutions that were honest, which we don't, unfortunately, but there are still banking institutions out there that are honest. You put your money into the bank. The bank takes that money and is able to use that money to lend out to businesses to buy capital goods, capital equipment with which to manufacture and create more jobs and innovation, etc. You know that innovation and the initiative and productivity, it's all part of that. But we don't do that anymore. I never forget, right after 9/11, Bush got on TV and said, Americans, don't worry. You know, just we'll handle the war on terror. You just go shopping. My God, how irresponsible. And this is what's happening today. They want the consumer to go out and spend. No, 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 no. You want the consumer to stay home and be thrifty. And to save their money. And to spend it on things that they need so they can become self-reliant. We had, a year and a half ago, we had a very severe ice storm. Probably the worst ice storm that had hit this city of Tulsa in 50 years or maybe forever. I think it may have been the worst one on record. We didn't bury ourselves out of that thing for months. Trees were down, everything. It was unbelievable what happened to this town overnight. It sounded like a war out there with the trees cracking from the ice bearing down on the limbs. And you hear, pow, 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 pow. It literally sounded like guns going off. It was scary. People who had everything, folks, and I mean everything. I mean a BMW in the driveway, a swimming pool, beautiful house, kids going to private school. What happened? They had no electricity for 4 days. They abandoned their house, went 40 miles away to find a hotel room. This society has a problem. We are not self-reliant. Back in the old days, really old days, people who lived in apartments made everything themselves. Now, they didn't grow their own food, obviously. But they went to the store and they bought the basics, the dry goods. And the woman of the house, typically was the woman of the house, would make things. She would make bread, she would make pasta, she would make, you know, everything. I mean, she would take the ingredients and make something, and it would take some time. Today, we have people in apartments that make nothing. They just go to the store, you know, to buy Coke and Pepsi and potato chips, and that's it. They don't know how to use it. The stove has never been turned on. When they want to eat, they go to a restaurant. What would happen? Just think, what would happen if all of a sudden all these luxuries, and they are all luxuries, were unavailable? Who's to blame? Who is to blame? Think about it. Who is to blame? That is the title of this broadcast. Who is to blame? Should we blame the companies that tried to promote their products? I don't think so. I mean, even if they were told you all sorts of fairy tales about their products and what it can do and make your life so happy, which is what they do, they're not to blame. They're promoting their product. If I was selling a widget, I'd say, best widget in the world, make you successful, happy. If you're not beautiful, you'll be a beautiful person after this. People would want you, you'd become world. I'd say anything. Buy the stupid widget. Shut up. Give me your money and get the heck out of here. And have a nice day. I mean, they're not to blame. Ah, we say, the politicians, they're the ones that would blame. Because they're the ones that put us in this mess. Because all of that legislation and giveaways and ba-bing, ba-bang, ba-boom, ba-bing, right? No. They're not to blame. They're not to blame at all. You know why? Because they didn't get there on their own. You folks voted them in. You folks are the ones that put them there. The people put them there. And they bought what the politician said, just like the guy who was selling the widget said that your life is going to be wonderful. You know who's to blame? We are to blame. We all are to blame. We made our lives what they are. Now, if we felt that we were isolated and insulated from all of this economic debacle that we're going through, we would have arranged our lives so we would have been relatively unaffected by it. We would have learned skills, home economics, farming, not farming skills so much, but basic land skills. We wouldn't be reliant on everybody else. But at least we learned to cook. We would save our money and then realize that the U.S. dollar is backed by nothing. It's worthless. That's one thing you wouldn't want to save. That you'd be much better off putting your money in a bag of lentils than putting it in the U.S. dollar. Because the lentils you can eat, And if we, when we go through hyperinflation, boy, those lentils are going to be worth a fortune. If we can only sit down and think. And you know why we are to blame? Because we watch television and we believe everything they say. And we are lazy. We are lazy to the point of, rather than preparing ourselves so that we become somewhat independent of the system, part of society, you know, there's certain things that we cannot be independent of altogether, but we become relatively self-sufficient like the old days. We are too lazy. So what we do is we sit there and we watch Dancing with the Stars or something like that, or whatever those stupid programs are, or game shows where everyone's screaming and everyone's happy and laughing and jumping around while we sit there in our misery blaming everybody else. Who's to blame, folks? We are to blame. And unless we decide right now, right after this broadcast, or right during this broadcast, that we are going to get up and we're going to take inventory of everything we have. Take a look at it. See if everything that we have either is a liability or it's an asset. And if it's a liability, get rid of it. If it's an asset, cherish it, fix it, make sure it works. And make yourself as independent as possible. And become thrifty. Save your money. Don't spend it on garbage. If you're going to spend your money, buy a bag of lentils, beans, rice, brown rice, preferably because it has all the nutrition in it. But think, read good stuff, and take your TV and roll it down the block. Give it away to charity. And learn to do without your car. And next time it comes up to vote, the November comes and we got to vote. If there are two clowns running against each other and they're both bums, don't vote for the bums. Write in a third party, a third name. Don't put my name. I don't want to run. Who's to blame? We are to blame, folks. Folks, this is Joe Cristiano. You're listening to Liberty Talk Radio. Our call-in number is 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. That's comments@libertytalkradio.com. We do invite your calls, your comments, your questions, and your criticisms, please. And please, and send us an email on any question or anything. In fact, folks, if you would like for me to comment on any particular item, I would love to entertain it, and we'll do a program on it. We'll even have you on the air. In fact, Eddie Garcia was on talking about a couple Sundays ago, or was it a Thursday morning? I'm not sure, regarding English as the Only Language. I'm going to have him back. He has a blog. He sends me stuff, and I'm dying to answer those blog requests, but I don't stay on the computer all day, so I may have him back. That gives you an idea. He's a terrific guy. I like him very, very much. We disagree on that vehemently, but I love him. You know, he's a great guy. Okay. Now, all of the government programs that are being proposed, first of all, are totally unconstitutional. Just think about it. This health care package. You know what? I have no idea what's in the health care package. But don't be surprised, folks, because no one knows what's in the health care package. What, it's umpteen thousand pages long? You think anyone knows what all those wording is? But look, think of this. I heard a guy on NPR radio, and a guy really made sense. Now, the guy he was debating made, quite frankly, just made no sense. It was just anecdotal, feel good, to say good garbage, you know? He said, look, he said, they have to make decisions on health care. And how are they going to do that? Well, they have to make it, Congress has to vote on it. You know, healthcare is not going to cover everything. If someone wants a second nose grafted on their head, on their forehead, you know, will government healthcare pay for that? Well, I mean, I know that's a silly thing. Well, the answer would be no. But there's going to be decisions made as to what they will cover and what they cannot cover or refuse to cover. right? Understand that. Those decisions have to be made because it's not an open checkbook. Now, how are those decisions made? You think they're made? First of all, they're not really being made. Someone writes them down and puts them on page 13,265, and no one knows they're there. But they're going to vote on those things. But when they do come up for individual votes to see what's in there and what's not in there, then you have the different interest groups saying, you know, you really should cover that. You know, we gave you $60,000, Bob, on your campaign, and we expect you to play ball now. And that's basically what's going to go on. So the health care package that you get is going to be politically motivated and politically inspired. And that is the most dangerous health care you can have, because you're going to find yourself in a predicament where you need medical assistance. They're going to say, sorry, it really doesn't qualify, because you should have had the MRI within 3 months, but all these regulations. And then all of a sudden you can't get the health care. Now, understand this. Whenever you subsidize something, you get more of it. In other words, the demand goes up because it's free, right? So when you have people, when you have a healthcare system that is straining at the leash right now, very, very difficult. A lot of people can't get healthcare because it's unavailable. Emergency rooms are just bulging at the seams, you know, because people can't afford to go to their doctors, right? They're losing their jobs, and they're waiting for the very last minute to get help. Then it gets so critical, they run to the emergency room. And the emergency rooms, they can't handle it. And the emergency rooms, it's the most expensive way to go, all right? Now, so you have this phenomenon of people not being able to take care of themselves, and they have to go to doctors. So when they subsidize something, you're going to have more people taking advantage of that particular product or service, right? So if people are not going to the doctor now and always saying, hey, it's free, guys, all right, you're going to have more people going, all right? It's basic. It's basic economics, you know. It's free. People take it, all right? Now, the thing is, more people are being serviced. What about that's the demand. What about the supply? Well, if you have a healthcare industry that's controlled by the government, are you going to have more or less doctors and nurses? Well, you know the answer to that. Less. So you have increased supply, decreased supply with increasing demand. What does that equate to? Rationing. Limitations. I'm sorry, you saw the doctor once on that. We don't allow a second visit. And you're not going to be able to get around that. You're not going to be able to get around. In fact, they put you in jail if you go see a doctor and you pay. Don't kid yourself. That's the way it is all over the world. You go somewhere, come on. You can't do that. Oh, no, I shouldn't say that's not true. There are countries where they allow people that have money to go outside the system. I correct myself. But just think of the strain. And what person would want to be a doctor knowing that their income and their lives and everything that they do is dictated by politicians, by what they can and cannot do? My doctor, who I like very, very much, is an old friend of mine. I mean, he said he says he's making less and less money everywhere. He's just going to wind up dying there broke. You know, and he's just disgusted. And he sees patients from 8 o'clock in the morning till 6, 7 o'clock every night, you know, 5 days a week. And you can tell the guy is totally worn out. He has absolutely no control over his practice or his life anymore. He works for a conglomerate, you know, hospital. Who's to blame for that? The doctors? The pharmaceutical firms? No. Look in the mirror. We are to blame. Now, one thing, they say, well, what can we do about it? Well, one thing we can do is stop eating all the crap that's being manufactured in factories that we call food today. There is so much stuff that's bad for us. So much stuff. You look at the ingredients, you cannot even read the ingredients. You can't pronounce it because they're chemical names. You should be buying things that are healthful for you. You know, no one ever died. Oh, Bob, yeah, he died. Yeah, had lentils twice a week. You know, poor guy. Lentils got him. Never heard that before. But the amount of saturated fat that we have, the amount of salt that we have, the packaged goods are filled with that stuff. Diabetes is epidemic. Diabetes is nearly 100% avoidable. And yet it's epidemic in this country. Who's to blame? We're to blame because we're lazy. And I'll tell you this, I love potato chips just as much as anybody else. I can't have only one. I can eat the whole bag, no matter how big it is, until I get sick. And I realize no more. I mean, absolutely no more. I recommend a book to you called The China Study. The China Study by T. Colin Campbell. It'll change your life. Very interesting book. I'm not endorsing anything. I'm not saying this is what you got to do or anything like that. Just interesting book. A lot of interesting books out there. This one's particularly interesting. I had an epiphany when I read it. But you realize that you can, in fact, take some control of your life. So you say, who's to blame for all the financial situation we have, the healthcare situation, the political situation, the government situation, all of it? Who's to blame? Let's find someone to blame. Let's just look in the mirror and say, okay, let me be honest. I'm to blame. And me too. I'm to blame. Now, what do I do about it? I am going to become, like the old days, a little bit more responsible, a little bit more self-sufficient, a little bit more understanding of what my needs and the needs of my family and my friends are. And not think of what I deserve because I've earned it. I hate that comment. You know, you see someone buy themselves a Maserati, they go, well, you know, I've earned it. Yeah, what about those guys in India, Bangladesh, that take ships apart, work 14 hours a day in the hot sun, you know, dismantling ships? Do you work harder than them, you bum? And what do they get? They hardly get enough food to eat. And they sleep on the beach, filthy beaches, with all the grease and the oil from the ships. They earned it. My foot, they earned it. They earned my foot. That's about it. Well, folks, I hope this is a lesson to you, and please let me hear from you. Comments at libertytalkradio.com. This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Shakers Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends, and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you're either allowing your liberties to be taken away, or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there's no middle ground. Ron Paul has a sign at his desk that says, don't steal. The government hates competition. With that, until next time, I'm Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well. Stay tuned.